Hello everyone, welcome once again to the Cocktail Vet Podcast. It's your girl Oge, and I'm so excited for today's episode because a special guest is in our midst today, and I can't wait for you guys to meet with him. So let's get on board. Don't go anywhere. Welcome once again, guys. So let's get to meet our guest. So, sir, can we meet with you?
First of all, I'm really happy to be on this episode of The Cocktail Vet, being anchored by Oge. My name is E. Chinonso Clinton, a 600 level student of the Faculty of Veterinary Medicine, University of Nigeria, Nsukka, and a soon to be veterinary doctor.
Woo!
Okay, I'm from Ukehe in Igbo, the local government of Enugu State.
Okay.
I think that's the much I can say. Or maybe she might want me to add that I'm currently the AVMS president.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you so much, sir, for that warm introduction. So, guys, our AVMS president, our ex-AVMS president is on board, so you better not go anywhere because you have a lot to discuss today. Okay. Okay, now, it's been, looking back, like, you entered the university around what year?
In 2014.
Jeez.
I came into UNN on the 22nd of September 2014. That was when I resumed school in UNN.
Wow, that's really long time. Like, I think I was still in secondary school then, if not GSS 1.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow, and like, how did you see the whole 6 years of a thing? Like, was it really that fast? Like, was it really that slow?
You know, when I was in first year, second year, the years were very slow. Okay. But looking back at it now, I'll say that it looks like it's happened so fast. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the things that were experienced during those 7 years,
mm-hmm.
7 years due to the coronavirus pandemic and the lockdown. So if you look at the things that passed on, that occurred during those periods, you see that it's a very long time.
Okay.
Just imagine that a child that was born when I came into UNN is now 7 years
the
old.
The end, though. It's
so
true.
You see that it's a very long year.
Yeah. Wow. And I bet, like, vet, like, how when did you start experiencing vet challenges? Like, at what year?
Okay. I started experiencing vet challenges in second year when they started exposing us to vet terminologies. Of course, when anatomy hits you, you start hearing things like dosoventral, cranially, laterally.
Mm.
Those words were very alien to us, so we are trying to adapt. And then you start hearing things like, you start studying things like animal physiology, biochemistry.
Mm.
So they were strange and they were challenging. But we thank God that we survived despite all those things. Thank God. So the challenge started when we came into vet in second year. I started doing vet courses.
Mm. Okay, like, you made mention of anatomy. Like, I don't know, what was your worst course in anatomy? Because that anatomy, I just don't understand.
Well, there are many parts of anatomy that anatomy as a course on its own is a problem.
Yeah, dude.
But I think the challenge started when we started doing the CNS part of anatomy, the part that has to do with the central nervous system.
Mm.
We are drawing different aspects of the brain. Professor Nwogu took us on that. They were not funny.
Yes.
Because at some point we had a diagram that we divided different parts of the brain and they had different names.
The end.
And we had to cram those names. And I think in one of our exams it came out. So anatomy as a course on its own is very challenging. And then when you talk about is it the musculoskeletal system, that you have to learn different muzzles for different animals.
Meat, animal. Yeah,
exactly. So you come to an animal like dog and they tell you that you have this muzzle here, but if you go to a goat or a sheep, you won't find it.
Yeah.
You have to learn all those things. So osteology was a little bit easier because it was basically almost the same bone that you see in every animal.
Okay, now I would really love to know like how you survived like second year anatomy and the rest. Like, did you try this night class of a thing? Like, did you try it?
Okay, I was not a night classer. I didn't go to night class that much until exam.
Okay.
I felt the pressure to go for night class to cover, especially the exam for our professional exams. That is the one we did in third year, after the third year first semester.
Okay.
So that's when I started going for night class. But during second year, first semester and second semester, I was not in night class style. I just read in my room, and then on exam day, you come and write. So that's how it was for me.
Okay, wow. That is a really good one. Well, so guys, you know that he's actually the AVMS. I keep repeating this thing. He's our ex-AVMS president.
Actually, let me correct something. You know, I've not officially handed over.
Oh, okay.
So I'm still the president.
Okay. No troubles. No troubles. Anyways,
I would have loved if I've already handed over. Yeah, because I'm already going out.
Yeah.
Because our circumstances made it that I'm still the president.
So like, we want to know how the whole journey started. Like, did you just wake up all of a sudden and say, I just want to become the AVMS president? Like, what drove your motivation?
You know, like, I'll always tell people, when I came into UNN, I was this shy boy that avoided crowd or people, and I was shy and introverted. So one of the things I told myself is that I have to push myself, at least even if it is part of your temperament to be introverted, try and explore. Pass through the university and let the university pass through you.
Okay.
So I started by contesting for House of Reps election in my second year, that is SCG House of Reps. There were true aspirants. At the end of the election, I got 6 votes.
Out of how many people?
Out of, let me say, around 52, I think around 52 or 51 voters,
wow.
I got 6.
Only 6? Jeez.
It was embarrassing, but it didn't deter me. I knew what I wanted. I knew it's part of the processes to build myself and gain experience. Just like I said, to let university pass through it. So after that, I continued engaging in leadership activities, participating in AVMS programs fully. And in my third year, I contested for the same SUG House of Reps. And the reverse happened. I contested against somebody. I think in that election, 54 people voted. I got all the votes except 6.
Really? Wow.
It was very funny.
Wow.
So that was the beginning of my process. In SUG House of Reps, I represented my class very well. I made sure that I did a kind of a feedback mechanism whereby I go to the house, talk with debate on issues, discuss issues, and then I come back to my class, which is my primary constituency, and tell them, okay, this is what the SUG wants to do, or this is what we plan on doing. What is your feedback, or how do you react to it? And then my classmates who had issues too in their hostels, or anywhere, they will tell me, and I'll do something about it, try to solve the problem. So in my fourth year, I decided not to go for any other SUG executive position. We were projecting somebody in our class. Unfortunately, the person did not meet the criteria. So my classmate decided that since I've been there before and I represented them very well, that I should go again.
Wow.
That was how I went for the Senate, SUG Senate. So as I was in the SUG Senate, I did the same thing as I did. When I was in the house, we got our allowance, I think, of 18,000 naira. I gave 10,000 naira to my class.
Okay.
Yeah, as a part of a constituency project. So in the Senate, I went again to Senate, represented my class very well, and I built. One of the things I did in the SCG Senate was to construct a mirror for the faculty.
Okay.
The mirror you see there, if you are coming in
this
from the new vet. This new vet,
that
entrance
yeah,
that
they now. Yeah,
the mirror there. Although I didn't write my name on it because I didn't see it as necessary.
Jeez.
Something like that. So I did that. That was what I did after going to SCG Senate. Then also, I contested when I was in the, I think in the house, yeah, in SCG house, I also contested for VMS financial secretary.
Secretary.
Yeah. Sorry, not financial secretary, assistant secretary general. Yeah, assistant secretary general. Then after that, I went to AVMS House of Reps in my fifth year and served as the chief whip under the speakership of Anakwe Anthony and the presidency of Ezugo Chukwudi. In that same fifth year, I served as the Open Week Committee Chairman. And then I contested for VMS President. Now, the things that drove me to occupy these positions was not because of the power or the financial benefits that came from them, but because I told myself that this is an opportunity for me to build myself and gain the experience. And I must tell you, I didn't enjoy any monetary value from them. I was just there for the service and to build myself too. So those are the experiences I had. And I, when I contested for president, I also had the same mentality. The reason is to offer my best, because it's not okay for you to stay on the sideline and then complain about everything that is wrong with the government. But when the opportunity comes up for you to do something or contribute to your quota, you shy away from it. So it's not always nice to criticize. You should as well try to do your part.
Okay.
So
wow, that was really a turnaround, like a 360 turnaround for someone introverted. So like you just keep mentioning different leadership positions like you'll be occupying, and I wanted to know, like, how did you get to have the time? Because vet on its own is very stingy, like it is still your life. Like, how did you manage?
So like you said, vet will steal your life. We have lectures here from 8 a.m to 5 p.m In fact, I can remember one certain time we had a sitting in SCG House of Reps. The sitting started by 5:30 p.m. And ended around 2:30 a.m. the next morning. And I had test that day.
Jeez.
I went for the sitting, went to my room, slept a little, refreshed, woke up refreshed, and came and wrote my test. Now, once about all these things is, when we say we don't have time for something, it's about you being able to organize yourself and then placing your priorities right. You can always make up time for something, especially if that thing is of interest to you. That's just it. Vet does not give us time to do other things like people in other faculties, but if we are able to manage your time well, you see that you have plenty of time to do other things that interest you, extracurricular things. So it's all about time management, and then you knowing yourself and what works for you. You know, everybody don't have the same level of understanding when you study. There are people that it takes, let me say, if you give them a page, they just have to go through it in 5 minutes and understand what is there. And there are people that will spend 1 hour or so before they will grasp it. So it's for you to understand what works for you, how well you perform academically, and then structure yourself in that way. If you see that you need to spend more time to study for you to grasp, then you need to cut off some certain things and devote more time to your academics. But if you see you can balance things very well, then you strike that balance. But whatever we decide to do, we should know that our primary aim of coming to the university is to study and go home with our degree. Every other thing is secondary. Even my involving myself in leadership positions, they are secondary, but they are necessary things to help build me.
Wow, thank you so much for that. So guys, you've heard it. Even though best in your life, you just left for you to structure yourself and your priorities right as well. Okay, like, I also wanted to know, like, when you were in secondary school, you were actually performing well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you came to the university, especially vet, like, they turned the whole thing around. Now, my question goes like this. For those of us out there, like, who are still with this mentality, like, if you don't get first, you're not doing well. Like, if you don't become BGS, you don't be well. Like, what advice would you give us? Like, do grades really matter? Like, now? Like, what really matters now? Can you just tell us?
Okay. Well, I'll say grades are important.
Okay.
But they are not the ultimate. There is more to life than just grades.
Okay.
Because if we start scrutinizing some of the big names we have in this country, and other, you see that some of them were not the best in their class. They were not at the top of their class. Some of them graduated with third class and all that. Grades are important, but in the 21st century, it is not the ultimate.
Okay.
I think the ultimate now is the value you are able to add to yourself. When you talk about your skills, your ability to work as a team, your interpersonal relationship with people, it's very important. Because sometimes when you go for job interviews and all that, they are not interested whether you are the BGS of your class. Because if you check those that apply for jobs, there are many BGS and first class candidates there. But what they are interested in is, what are you bringing to the table? What do you have to offer? And that is what distinguishes you from every other person aspiring for that same position. So, like I said, grades are important, but they are not the ultimate.
They are not the ultimate.
The ultimate and most important thing are the values you add to yourself. What are the skills you have? How can you thrive in a situation like this? Can you deliver? Can you work out something that is expected of you? Do you have brilliant ideas that can be put into reality? So those are the important things, and not necessarily grades.
Okay, like, I just want to add to what you just said, like, a question actually, like, since grades does not matter, like, are there any opportunities, like, we vet undergraduate need to open our eyes to, since, like, it's not all about study, like, what are those things you think we can do so that we can add value to ourselves?
Okay. Wow, that's a very nice question. That will lead me to say something. One of the regrets I have after spending 7 years here in UNN is that I didn't actually start putting my vet, let me say, being a vet student, I didn't start putting it into practice early enough. Like, for example, when I look around, I see people in second year, third year, or fourth year, rearing birds or pigs or other animals. I really appreciate it, because these are things that I failed to do and I still regret it. Now, another thing is that there are people in lower classes, like, I know some of my classmates that started going out for treatments, like consultation, people call them to come and treat their animals and all that, as early as our third year. And when I look back at those things, I kind of regret that I didn't start on time. So my advice to vet students is they should explore those opportunities that will help them develop their skills as aspiring vets. For example, when we go on vacations, you can decide to attach yourself to a clinic, like, for, let me say, 2 or 3 weeks, or even 1 month, or throughout the vacation period. It will help you a lot. And then when you come back to school, you can decide to raise beds. It's not necessarily for the money. The money is important, but as a student, you should look at the knowledge you are gaining from it.
Okay.
It's more important than the money at that point in time, so that when you graduate, it will be easier for you to hit the ground running. So that's what I have to say for aspiring vets.
Okay, wow, that's really like a deep advice. So guys, make sure you really look into it. Okay, I also have other questions to ask you. You know, you made mention of developing your interpersonal skills, and I really want to know how you made use of it during your clinical years in vets. Like, how did you have any client issues? Like, how do I put it in English now? Like, client problems, like, how do you handle it?
Okay.
Those kind of stuff.
Of course, you know, as human beings, issues are meant to come up between you and your fellow human being. Talk more of when you are dealing with a client. Now, one thing about it is that, you know, this veterinary practice is something that has to do with you selling yourself through your skills. And then you also have to learn to be patient with people. Well, some of the things we experience as vets is that sometimes when you are asking for an information from a client that will help you handle a case the person is presenting before, you see that the client is not being very sincere with you. The person is not being very forthcoming with information. For example, you see a situation whereby you are looking at an animal. The animal is very cachectic, already very thin. You can see the ribs. And when you ask the client, when last did you feed this animal? The person will tell you that the animal has been eating very well. That you just noticed that when you are looking at the animal, you have seen that the animal has not been eating well for some time. So those are the things we experience. So you just have to learn to be patient and diplomatic with your clients. Because you know there is a way you handle a client, the person will move away from you. But if you're able to handle the clients very well and do your job, the person will bring in more vets, more clients to you. So that interpersonal relationship, you have to learn to be patient. You also have to learn humility too. It's important. When a case is presented before you, don't go about trying to prove that you're a vet doctor, that you are big or something like that. And then don't handle any case as too belittling. Don't, as a vet, you should not handle any case as too belittling. No matter what kind of, so far it's a vet case, you are bound as a vet to handle it. No case should be too small for you. And then any case that is challenging, don't be shy to ask for assistance from other vets.
Okay.
So that's it. Don't be shy. Nobody knows it all.
Okay.
No man is an island of knowledge. So don't be shy to ask for assistance. And don't see any case as too belittling. That's what I have to say.
Wow, I'm so much enjoying this conversation. I hope you guys are actually enjoying it as well. Okay, and there's something like I noticed, like in vets, and everybody else supposed to have noticed, like vets is very stressful.
Yeah.
Hands down stressful. So my question is, like, how did you manage stress?
You know, life on its own is very stressful.
Okay.
And then when you talk about the fact that you are in Nigeria, you see that you can say that stress is the second name of every Nigerian.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. Then when you talk about handling vet stress, first of all, you need to be cognizant of your health. Try to eat when necessary. I must say there is a bad habit that I learned in vets and it's kind of affecting me now. When I wake up in the morning before coming to school, I don't eat. Most times I won't eat till around 12:01. And sometimes, depending on how tight my schedule is, I might not eat till the end of the lecture day. Probably till 5 or 6. It happens sometimes. But one bad habit I've formed is that I don't usually eat in the morning, which is very bad. And now I'm suffering in a way that sometimes if I go hungry for a long time, I start having gastritis, that is inflammation of the stomach. So I will start having this burning sensation in my stomach, which is bad. So to handle stress, first of all, try to eat at the appropriate time.
Okay.
If you eat in the morning, eat light food in the morning, it will help you throughout the day, it will help your brain function well. And then get enough sleep. There are people that you are dismissing school by 5 p.m. You go to your hostel or lodge, eat, and then come back again to read. You need to give your brain that chance to recover. At least if you go home, you can sleep for, like, let me say 1 hour, 2 hours to freshen up. Then you can wake up and study, then go back to sleep again. At least a vet student should have at least 6 hours of sleep per day.
Six hours
is even very small. At least 6 hours of sleep per day. That should be able to keep you going. In a situation whereby you deprive yourself of sleep, you are bound to break down.
Yeah, the next day.
Yeah. And then another mistake we make is that the semester starts, they start releasing materials, you don't touch any of them, you keep dumping them, and then once exam starts, you now start sleeping for 2 hours every night to cover up those materials. At the end of the day, you see that you are punishing yourself more. When you get to the exam hall, you are not very productive. But if you can start early enough, little by little, you can devote like 2 hours to study every day. Even if it is not every day, at least 2 hours once in 2 days. It will help you cover ground before the exam starts. So this will help vet students to cope with stress. And then everything shouldn't be about study. Try to give yourself a free time. Chat with friends, not necessarily on WhatsApp. Like in reality, discuss with friends, chat, laugh. It helps the heart, it helps the brain. Have what they call comic relief in movies.
Comic relief,
yeah.
Okay.
So it will help you cope. It shouldn't be too hard on yourself because you are studying. Don't be too hard on yourself. So give yourself, your brain, your body the chance to recuperate and recover. So that's how I believe people should cope with stress. And then take enough water.
Water.
Yes, it's important. Because sometimes people will advise take fruits. And you know these days fruits are expensive. At least if you cannot buy fruits, try and take enough water.
Make sure
you hydrate yourself very well. It helps.
Wow, like this stress of a thing is really like it's what like we need to really instill in our students, because this is what breaks most students down. Stress, like some don't know how to handle it. So guys, I hope you've been inspired on how to manage stress. You understand, you're not the only one that is studying vet, so please don't kill yourself before your time.
Okay.
So Doug, I have another important question for you. And you know, like the university ground like is a place to grow a lot of things. Like I want to talk about like networking, like how you built your network, like network of friends, network of anything.
Let me see, my network of friends started from keeping in touch with people I knew before I entered GNN.
Okay.
Let me say, when I entered in my first year, so the people I was friends with were those I went to the same secondary school with.
Okay.
So we kept in touch. From there, their own friends will become your friends too. You understand? And then, so that network starts expanding from there. You meet new people from this person. You know this person.
Yeah.
You see this person with somebody else. You introduce yourself to the person. You start discussing. You are building a network of friends. And then getting involved in politics too gave me the opportunity to also meet other people from faculties. For example, when you go to the House of Reps or the Senate, now each faculty have a representative there. So for the fact that you people are in the same environment working, you are building a network. For example, in Senate, we built network with people in UNEC.
Wow.
Because it's comprised of student representatives from UNN and from UNEC. So that network continued. Then when we come back to the faculty, also getting involved in AVMS activities, you meet new people, people from different classes, different levels. You meet them, interact with them, and all that. So you build your network that way.
Wow, there's really something striking about you, Presido. Like we're so introverted, but still we're able to do much. So guys, even if you're an introvert, see, there's a lot for you to lay your hands on. Just like he said, know what works for you, know how to maneuver around things, and you'll do well. Okay, and I feel like you're not really politically inclined. Like, what advice would you give to those of us that are upcoming? Yeah, that want to go into the political field.
Well, the political field in Nigeria is a crowded one, I must say. And unfortunately, many people are there for the selfish interests for their own benefits. Of course, one of the things they say in Nigeria is that politics is one of the weakest ways to get rich in Nigeria. But once in a while, I have to tell those that that want to go into the political field is that, what are you passionate about? Why exactly do you want to go into the political field? Is it for your own selfish interest? Or is there something you want to change? Is there something you want to change?
Mm.
And then it's important to start at this level when we are young, because you gain a lot of experiences.
Mm.
Things that that other people might consider as unimportant, you get involved in them, they help build you. Because life out there is not very different from what we see here. What we see here is just a microcosm or a smaller part of what happens there, but it's just the same.
Okay.
You understand? So if you're able to thrive well politically in an environment like this, you will do well outside there. But the most important thing is finding out why you want to enter into politics.
Okay.
Is it for the corruption or the money?
Mm.
Or is there something you want to change? Or is there something you want to make better?
Mm.
So it's important that those that want to get into politics shouldn't want to get into it for the bad reasons. It should be for the good reasons, because that's what Nigeria needs at this point. That's what we need.
Okay, thank you very much for that. One more thing, you know, it takes fuel to keep a motor or a vehicle going. Like, I want to know your source of motivation that just kept you going throughout the whole 7 years. But,
well, well, I must say, my source of motivation has been my mom.
Wow.
Because I lost my dad at the age of 10.
Jeez.
So, and I just have a sister, there are just two of us, and then my mom.
Mm.
So she has been the source of motivation for me, because she always demands that I be the best I can.
Okay.
That I always do the right thing at the right time. So she has been my source of motivation. And then when I look up to her, the things she do and the reasons why she does the things she do, they still motivate me to believe that there is still good in this world.
Okay.
And I can be part of that good.
Wow. Thank you so much for that. So guys, you've heard, don't forget where you're coming from. As you can see, like, his source of motivation was actually from home. So don't forget where you're what coming from. Doc, do you have any favorite word, like, you love saying every time?
There is this one that I usually tell myself. The moment you stop trying to be better than you are is the moment you become worse than you were.
Wow. Please, can you say that again? I'm trying to write it down.
The moment you stop trying to be better than you are,
okay,
is the moment you become worse than you were.
Wow. That is deep. Okay, Doc. Two more questions and I think we are done. No, I don't want to be done, no, because this conversation is really interesting. Okay, like, is there any, like, your current service, like what you're into, that you want us to know so that we can reach out to you sometime?
Okay. I'm into piggery farming.
Okay.
Like, I think I have a total of 18 pigs now.
Wow.
Some of them piglets, about 4 of them are sows. So I'm into piggery production, although my plan is to expand from there.
Wow.
It's just a stepping stone
to
my plans for the future.
Okay. So is there a way, like, we can reach out to you, like,
of course, people listening to this? My phone number, which is also my WhatsApp number, and my main line, which is 081
06 36 33 91. Okay.
Let me repeat it. 081 06 36 33 91.
Okay, what about your email? Would you like people to reach out to you?
Dear? Yeah, my email, you can reach out to me on my email too. EARLClinton95@gmail.com.
Okay, thank you so much, Doc, for that. Oh, I actually love pig meat, though. Okay, like the meat, yeah, it just drives me nuts.
Yeah, it's nice. Wow. Sorry, when it's prepared very well.
So I think I should actually bring you up for another session. So we'll talk about advice on pigry. So guys, make sure you watch out for that.
No problem.
Okay.
No problem. That's if I was still being on soccer or we still find.
No, wherever things. You are, we'll get knowledge from you too from there.
I really appreciate.
Okay, so final question. Okay, so the final question is like this. Like, since you really held a leadership position and it seems like you were doing really so well. Like for me, like I want to know, we want to know what traits you think every vet student like should have.
Okay, the good number of traits I believe a vet student, especially somebody who hopes to handle something big in the future, like a leadership position or a company, there are traits that you should have. One, honesty.
Okay.
You should be honest with the people around you, because sometimes the mistake some people make is that they tell a lot of lies and believe that everybody is buying their lies, but one day people will see you for who you actually are. But honesty pays always.
Okay.
Even when it's not convenient. Convenient, just summon that courage and tell the truth at all times. Then two, patience. You have to be patient with the people around you, be patient with your clients, and be patient with yourself too. Then, three, I believe is humility.
Humility.
Humility. There is no gain in being too proud. It's not necessary. Try to be humble, because it's in humility that people really appreciate us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that is all right.
Yeah, that's all I want to say.
Wow. This was a really long conversation, and man, like my whole book is just sealed up. I've just been writing and writing and writing. I hope you guys have been writing as well. So, Doc, thank you very, very much for your presence. Like,
thank you very much, okay, for having me on this program.
Okay.
I'm really humbled.
And a very big congratulations to you as well.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So guys, this is it. We've come to the end of today's episode, and I really do hope you were inspired. And if there is any suggestions, or if you would love to work with me, or if you would love to give advice or talks like this, don't hesitate to reach out to me. Okay, you can reach out to me through my email at ogeosondu13@gmail.com. So guys, don't forget to subscribe, and do hope to keep in touch, because next episode is going to be hot. So bye for now.
Thank you very much.